First, the view from the center of the universe. For millennia, humans put themselves in the center. Then, along came Copernicus, who shattered the idea of the Earth as the center of the universe. But what if everything actually did revolve around us? Physicist Joel Primack believes just that. He's written a book with Nancy Abrams called The View from the Center of the Universe, and they told Steve Paulson why humanity's moved back into the center.
We say they're central or special in a number of different ways. One is that we're made of the rarest stuff in the universe, heavy elements, the kind of atoms that are only created deep inside stars. Another is that we live at the center of time. We live at the center of the time of our planetary system. The Earth and the Sun were born about 4.5 billion years ago, and about 5 billion years in the future, the Sun is going to profoundly change. It will turn into a red giant star. It will swallow the inner planets, and it may burn Earth to a crisp.
Now, this perspective that you're critiquing, I mean, what I guess would commonly be called the Newtonian view of the universe, and what you have also called the existential view, that there really isn't any meaning, that really has been the dominant view among scientists for centuries, hasn't it? And many modern scientists, I mean, Carl Sagan and Stephen Jay Gould to Stephen Hawking today, I mean, they've basically said that humans really don't matter in the great scheme of things.
You know, if you take a Newtonian view of the universe as a whole, you really can't say anything else. And for several centuries, there hasn't been much of a choice. It's only in the last few years, the last decade or so, that there really has been a completely new and well-supported theory of the universe that gives us a completely different picture. So really, until now, the existential view was the only one that was really scientifically well-supported. The science, however, does not tell us what our centrality means. That is actually going beyond science.
So you're saying that, in a sense, we have to create our own myths to find meaning in the universe.
Well, we have a tremendous amount of scientific foundation now. Yes, we do need, you're absolutely right, we do need to create our own myths. But it is no longer possible to just create myths that we like or that feel good or that make us somehow feel connected to other people that share them. We're past that stage. The only myths that are feasible and going to be really satisfactory in the future are those that are based on this new picture of reality. We are now at a real turning point where we have the new scientific foundation, and now is the time to start constructing a mythology. You know, sometimes I hate to use the word mythology because people think of it as implicitly wrong, but a mythology is not something that's implicitly wrong. A mythology is a way of looking at reality that puts us into the story. That's all it is.
Well, you in your book, you recount the stories of various mythologies going back to the ancient Egyptians, and you make the point that that was profoundly important to the longevity of Egyptian society. I mean, this is a civilization that lasted 3,000 years, and you're really saying that it was partly because of their creation stories.
Oh, yes, because they grounded their civilization, they grounded their whole story of the gods and where they came from and everything in their understanding of the stars, which was, in fact, the most stable thing and remains the most stable thing for humans. Today, we have this tendency to ground our deepest beliefs in each other, which is very dangerous. We are not stable. We really need to ground ourselves in the Earth and in the cosmos. And now that we understand the cosmos, it's possible to do that.
So you're saying that it's partly through the language of these stories that, I mean, that's what gave them power. I mean somehow they just,
yes.
they went from simple stories into something much larger, much more powerful, something mythic.
Yes, stories are how we understand everything. That's how human beings understand. I mean, it's hard to imagine understanding anything outside of a story.
So that's what you're trying to do here. You're trying to tell a story of the universe.
We are trying to tell the story of the universe. It's different. We are trying to make what science has discovered into an accurate but also resonant story.
Is this another way of talking about God?
Well, the conceptions that we have of God very much depend on who you're talking to and what that person's background is. If the concept of God expands with our conception of the universe, God has to describe and somehow account for everything in the universe. the smallest things and the biggest things and maybe even eternal inflation. This certainly challenges earlier conceptions. Let me leave it like that.
Well, I have to ask you, do either of you believe in God?
You know, in our book, we weren't actually going to address this, and our editor said, you know, you're skittering around this question that everybody wants to know the answer to. Would you please just answer that very question? Do you believe in God? So what we said was, we believe in God as we understand God. And that's complicated. God, if it's going to be a meaningful concept, has to embrace the entire universe. There has to be some sort of concept of God on the scale of eternal inflation. What is God on the scale even of a galaxy? What is God on the scale of an atom or the nucleus of an atom? In other words, we have a real dearth of metaphors. We cannot describe God with human-type metaphors and think that we're describing anything worthy of being a God in this universe.
Einstein believed that the universe is, at some deep level, a fantastic intellectual conception. He also said that the most mysterious thing about the universe is that we can understand it, that there's some kind of connection between the way the human mind works and the deep underlying concepts that describe how the universe works. Einstein, like I think most successful physical scientists, had a profound belief that if we really try hard, we can understand this amazing universe. That's an article of faith. In fact, it's a very optimistic kind of faith that all successful scientists have to share. The scientists who aren't sufficiently optimistic, of course, aren't going to make the great discoveries.
Well, it seems to me you're fighting against the conventional view that science does not deal with meaning. Science, we all know, is wonderful at figuring out how the world works, but in terms of why anything matters, as I think most people assume, you have to go outside science to figure that out.
Indeed, you do. Science itself doesn't tell us what things mean. It doesn't put us into the picture as participants under most circumstances. On the other hand, if scientists who work on developing the modern picture of the universe or of life don't also try to explain how to think about it, and what it means to them at least, then who will? People who don't know as much, who haven't thought as hard. So I personally think that at least some scientists have to go public with their thoughts about the meaning of the scientific work that they're doing. Now, scientists are naturally very worried about this. Science has developed this wonderful ability to work across national boundaries without regard to religion or political ideology. And that's partly because we leave all those things behind when we just talk about science. And scientists are naturally worried that if we talk about meaning and the implications of our scientific work, then it will call into question our objectivity and our ability to collaborate across national borders and such. But as I said, we do have a responsibility, we scientists, and if we don't talk about these things, who will?
You know, one way of seeing this whole project of yours to tell us that we are living in a meaningful universe is that you're just trying to make us feel good. And I'm guessing critics of yours might say that what you're trying to do is to create a new mythology out of the barest threads.
Well, the meaning is not there. Meaning is something that human beings create. What we're saying is that for the first time, we have a scientific foundation on which we can build a meaningful universe. From the time of Galileo 400 years ago, that was impossible. We simply could not have a universe that put us at the center. It didn't make any sense because the only way that we had to understand central was, is the Earth the center of the universe? And Galileo showed us, no, Earth is not the center of the universe. Therefore, we thought we cannot be central in any way. But now in modern cosmology, we have found out that we are central to the underlying physics and cosmology principles of this new universe. Now, if you're saying we're doing this to feel good, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? Why should we try to feel bad? The fact is that we need inspiration in this society more than we need food. We need it desperately.
Joel Premack and Nancy Abrams are the author of the book, The View from the Center of the Universe. Steve Paulson spoke with them.